Luke 16:22. See if we can get on it today. Verse 23. This is the rich man. The rich man. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Let's talk about hell. It's the Greek word Hades. And it's sometimes translated the grave, sometimes translated death, and sometimes translated as hell. The Hebrew name is Gehenna, which means the Valley of Hinnom, which was the dump for the New Jerusalem, for Jerusalem. And because they didn't want the dump to stink up the universe, they put lye on it and then burned it. And so the whole idea of hell from a Hebrew standpoint is that which is the dump.
That which is what was the last word?
The dump. We've talked about it many times. That, well, let's get some of these. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. Yeah, but remember, you don't want to confuse metaphors for reality. Abraham's bosom was a parable, if you will, or a metaphor for heaven.
For which?
For heaven, or heaven. Paradise, or but it's all just the New Jerusalem. There may be a momentary identity, but that's the whole meaning. You've lost self-awareness.
Like a cup of wine.
Huh?
It's like a cup of wine.
I don't know what that is.
The grapes.
The grapes lose their identity.
Right. Right.
Blended as the wine.
Right. And the one is the bride. That's why when we drink the Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who createst the fruit of the vine. The fruit of the vine is the bride. So we have the bride and not the unbride. So 1 Corinthians 15. In verse 51. Well, start in verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Now, that means any part of flesh or blood. It cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed or transfigured. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. But the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed, transfigured. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The word grave there is Hades. They didn't want to translate it as Hades, or hell there, because that would defy, in the King James world, then hell, if grave was the word that was translated as hell, then the eternal punishment for sin would have been, there's a book, I don't even know if it's available anymore. It's called Translating for King James. And this is one of the words that's talked about extensively. Why did they translate Hades here as grave? And then another one was, why did they use the word peculiar people? There were several different places that are just fascinating to me. I had that book, and I think I lent it to Bloom, and I can't find it anywhere. So if anybody gets a translating for King James, I'd at least like to borrow it. So the idea here, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? O Hades, where is thy victory? Okay? Now let's go back to Acts 2. This is the speech of Peter at Pentecost. And everybody, a lot of people thought they were drunk because they were speaking what they did. They didn't understand the languages that they were speaking in. So many of the scribes and Pharisees thought they were drunk. And as we know, each person that have come from all over the world heard this Peter's speech in their own language, and that was the speaking in tongues, if you will. Well, let's just read it. In verse 13 it says, others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea and all that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, that prophecy, that's the prophecy in Joel, what we just read. And Peter said, this is the prophecy this is the prophecy come to pass. Now, if you have attended any charismatic world, then this is still to come, much of it. And so, anyway, that's not what we're studying. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. and being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God you have taken, and by wicked hands have you crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Now, that's the first place in his speech. He said he will not leave his soul in hell. Neither will he suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. It is said that all over the Talmud and in the law that a body on the fourth day after after death begins the corruption. And there's a big parable about somebody drops something on him or something. Anyway, so that's why Jesus was in the grave just 3 days, because he would not suffer his Holy One to see corruption. Well, he's held 3 days. Now, we don't know anything about that. We don't know what he did in hell. We have hints what he did. We don't know the extent of that incredible experience where what he experienced, we can't possibly have any empathy with. To be in that place in which he was the enemy of everything, and to have his only protection was his obedience. It wasn't that, again, he could have snapped his fingers and destroyed everything. I don't want to get into that today. All right, now let's just keep reading.
What number?
We're still now in verse 28. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on the throne, on his throne. And seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. And this Jesus hath God raised up, where we are witnesses. Most of our understanding of hell, I think, must have come from Dante's Inferno. And they've got all the seven levels of hell and all that. But I've searched everywhere and I can't find this thing that I talk about, that hell is just the dump of the New Jerusalem. There's all these fanciful tales of hell, that the place. Anyway, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, because unless anybody has any questions about hell, Everybody understand what it is and what it what.
It has a variety of expressions. I was thinking a couple days ago even about, you see all the movies and TV shows and there's artistic movie making people, all that, who are trying to express hell all the time. It's a typical expression, but it has a lot of variation in depending on who's describing what hell is. But it's certainly buried in the psyche somewhere that they can pull it up and come up with, I suppose, the worst thing they can imagine, and flesh out demons and try and, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's as you said, there's something in the psyche that produces these scary movies and demons and
the gargoyles. I mean, somebody.
Do you understand what the gargoyles were?
I remember they were there to keep the evil spirits away.
They were spiritual homeopathy. The idea that, you know, that you'd get a little bit of it, you'd see a little bit of it, and it would keep away the fullness of the bad.
Cause you to turn.
But I think it's probably something, some, those god girls, there's some muscle memory or some psyche of what the Adamic age, pre-Adamic age was.
Yeah.
But
very common. Throughout history, there's always been that, trying to capture hell.
Do non-believers go to hell?
Who's asking?
I am.
Let's do the First Peter thing again. First Peter chapter 4, verse 5.
First Peter where?
First Peter chapter 4, verse 5. We're just going to have to start sword drills. It just takes too much time, especially for Mr. Buckner to find them. Well, if he'd ever used two hands.
Well, my fingers are hurting.
Oh. All right. Verse 5. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. For this gospel, I mean, again, remember, it's because of eternity or because of no time. It's for this gospel is preached, was preached, will be preached to them that are dead. So we don't ever know. We can't even think about what an unbeliever means. It's none of our business. Remember, then we go to Romans 10. Say not even in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is, to, you know, essentially by your own works.
You know, that wasn't a gotcha question. I just...
Well, I'm just saying, it's we have no idea who an unbeliever an unbeliever is.
Well, the fact that in hell the gospel is preached, I always thought of it as that place, you might be more likely to hear something than in this world. Kind of the mercy of God or His grace.
Let's go to Revelation 16.
As far as required.
Last chance.
Yeah. Already been to hell.
Where are we going?
Already called.
Wait a minute. going either to 6 or 16. I'm not sure. Yeah, yeah. 6, not 16. Verse 14. And the heavens departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great man, and the rich man, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth in the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb of God. For the day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? So instead of repenting, they ask for the rocks to fall on them. So do they repent in hell? Most people will still want to retain their identity. And so they'll pray in a sense for the rocks to fall on them. You know, in my office, there's that the first picture of a black hole that Crystal got for me at the morning that the Hubble telescope took. Well, since then, you know, there's hundreds of thousands of black holes in the universe. And the heavens are rolling up as a scroll, just as it says. That's what the black hole does. It just pulls everything into it, and it's a sort of, you know, it's a... That's enough on that. Let's go to, let's continue. Back to Luke. Back to Luke 16:23. This is where in hell. In hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Torment is basanos. It's continual torture from acute pain is what it literally means. So something about in hell, there must be some awareness still of self because you're in torment.
From the nature of hell.
It seems to me that, and this is where we get the views of heaven and your little puppies in heaven with you and you... These guys say they went there and they saw Jesus, and these televangelists see him every day. I mean, went to heaven. And if the fruit of the fall is self-seeking, then self-awareness has to be still in the nature of Hades or hell or... But the nature of the kingdom of God is the loss of self-seeking and self-awareness. And that is, to me, the crux of the difference and the mystery. It's impossible for man to believe by his mind that self-awareness is the essence of sin. And so even in much of church history, the original sin wasn't self-awareness. The original sin was sex. So the idea of continuing in self-awareness, and then ascribing self-awareness to heaven, it's like that's all our minds can do. My experience, the three times that I've visited there, or been, it's the total loss of self-awareness. And as I search the scriptures, it seems to me that that has to be the essence of the New Jerusalem.
What exactly do you mean by self-awareness? It might sound trite and trivial, but tell me what you mean by self-awareness.
Aware of self. Aware of you as an individual entity.
When you examine yourself, you can be aware of the fact that you're doing something that you really don't want to do and you can correct it. That's not exactly a negative self-awareness.
No, I'm talking about all self-awareness. That's the fruit of the fall. From innocence to self-awareness. Once self-awareness, then self-realization became part of the process. I'm saying no awareness of self, as with Adam and Eve, only aware of God and others, or God and something.
Probably seen well in children, you know, right before two, they're not self-aware and they're free and they're fantastic to be around. Then they get to self-awareness, and you can just see the darkness come on them, and they suddenly
they become con men, con woman.
Well, yeah, but
because they know how to manipulate you.
Yeah, but you can see in their countenance.
Yeah,
there's a self starting to develop, and it drives them inward.
Well, that's why it says, except you become as this little child, be converted and become as that little child, you can no wise enter the kingdom of God. The little child that he's talking about is the child before self-awareness. I don't know that there can be any other discussion or definition of self-awareness but self-awareness. It defines itself. Doesn't matter whether it's good or bad. Does that communicate, John?
No. No. Honestly, it doesn't. We're not far off here. I mean, self-seeking that you talk about to promote yourself, to elevate yourself. That's pure evil. There's no question about that. But I'm confused by this awareness word. And I know what you're saying about children not being aware, and they're not aware, but should there not be some kind of a mechanism, maybe it's called something differently, and that's why I ask you the question. If Scripture says examine yourself, how can you possibly examine yourself without becoming aware of where your shortfall might be and then do something about it?
It says examine yourself once in the Scripture.
I don't care if it says...
No, listen.
First of all, it doesn't say it once. It says many times in that same thing, just like you always talk about how important it is.
It says one scripture. Or three times it says it in one scripture. It says... Well, let's read it. 2 Corinthians.
Well, that argument goes no place with me because...
Well, I'm not trying to argue. I'm just trying to say what the scripture says.
Well, I'm too. We're saying the same thing, but you said it only says it in one place. Doesn't make any difference. Does that make it less important because it only says it once?
No.
It's in scripture.
It doesn't make it less important. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate.
Oh, we read this 100 times.
But the fruit of knowing that you know Jesus Christ is in you is then you're only aware of Christ.
Well, this is why I'm asking you for a definition of awareness. You're not hearing me. Because, maybe I'm missing something. I'm open to that. That's why I'm asking you. When you examine yourself, we've talked about this 100 times. I always come back to that. The process of examining myself creates awareness.
Again, that isn't an exhortation to stay in that condition of examining. It's if there's something going on, then examine yourself. If you become aware of yourself, then you examine it. You don't examine it when you're just living. You're abandoning yourself. You're taking no thought about yourself. You're careful for nothing. Only if you become aware of self for some purpose or for some issue, then you examine yourself to see if you're in the faith.
And you stop doing it. You stop it. I mean, that's like. I'm not talking about that. That's okay. I'm with you on that. I understand.
Okay.
That.
Then I don't understand your question. That's my problem. Well, because awareness of self.
Houston, we have a failure to communicate, right? I respect what you're saying. I do, but I do object. I think to this word awareness being necessarily so evil. If we let it go there, that's probably where we'll end up, because that's how the self works. But there must be an awareness of what we're doing so that we can make amends, so that we know to repent. So is that not an awareness? And again, maybe that's not the right word, and that's why I'm asking you for a definition of awareness. And you say it's self-explanatory. I'm not sure it is. Not to me, it isn't.
All right, well, let's return to Genesis 3 a minute. This is the predicate of everything that I teach and talk about.
I had one very quick.
Just a minute. Let's continue with this one before we get into something else.
It's on this subject.
Satan said, the serpent said unto the woman in verse 4. You shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. So, I mean, there had to be, there was a transaction that occurred from not aware of self to self-awareness.
It says,
and they heard the voice of God talking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam, and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? The abandonment of self, to me, is the essence of the gospel. And if I have abandoned myself, then the only time that I become aware of myself is when I am, when I have left abandonment.
Then tell me the difference between self-seeking and self-awareness.
Well, self-awareness is the thing that causes self-seeking. If you are not aware of yourself, there would be no self-seeking. That's what's called innocence. And the prophets say, how long ere you return to innocency?
Now, the self-seeking, I'm in lockstep with you. I understand that. Self-awareness, not so much.
Well, I'm saying that self-awareness automatically produces self-seeking.
I don't believe that.
Self-awareness automatically says you need something.
I don't believe that.
Well,
I'm saying it could. I'm saying it usually does. I'm saying
well, the only
majority of the time, but every single time, and here's their mankind. There's no dictate that says that it's going to happen the next time. That's a huge step, and I can't go there.
Well, the only example we have of that issue is what we just read. That's the only example of the scripture of what happens when awareness of self takes place.
Okay. That doesn't work for me either, because there is something in Genesis 3 that you just read that might not be what you say it is, or what you think it is, or what you believe it is. I suspect.
What's that?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. But, you know, eat this fruit and you'll be.
Nice God, knowing good and evil.
You'll know the difference. Well, you know what? Maybe that's exactly what happened.
It is.
Okay. So the revelation, what came upon them was they were more godlike. They did know the difference between good and bad.
And they hid themselves.
And they hid themselves, right? Because they recognized that they were capable of doing. Well, here's where we start going off on something. Again, I'm not arguing that with you. I'm not there with you. I'm talking about get back to this awareness and seeking thing. I have a problem there.
I understand. I believe, and this is the essence of everything I teach, that it is an automatic that awareness of self produces self-realization.
Why do you say that?
Because it's right here.
You believe it. You say you believe it. Why you believe it? Because it's right here.
Well, I believe it because the only time that I know, these times when I left myself, was not at all aware of myself, were the times of pure bliss.
You know, I think I've experienced that
a couple times
in my lifetime as well. I really think it's possible that that happened. After the fact, you look around and you go, what was that? What happened? And I think I can relate to, in my personal experience, something that might approach some bliss
lack
or
of awareness.
Something like that.
Yeah.
I know that feeling.
Okay, now, there are... I desired that because I had experienced it as a child.
You desired it because you experienced it as a child?
The bliss of
You desired it? You looked for it?
No, yes, and I did all kinds of things to fight it. I spent many years trying to study yoga. I've spent many years trying to do various self-disciplines to achieve that thing that I've experienced as a child, that state.
That's never going to happen, is it?
No, because I'm trying.
Exactly.
Now, but on the other hand...
Those are the things that you don't accomplish. Those are the things that you sit and come to you.
Yeah. But on the other hand, in the case of Gary was a world-class gymnast. But he became a world by practice and practice and study and exercise and over and over and over and over till the movement became without awareness of self. And that movement, and I'm sure he can speak for himself, but it was a blissful place.
So you can train yourself to believe?
You can train yourself to reach that type.
That's a physical thing I give him. That's wonderful.
Right,
you
but
can
I'm
train
saying...
yourself to believe.
No. I'm not saying that. I'm saying these are the reasons, because I've experienced that bliss as a child and some other times when I was drunk, probably. That was the state of being that I longed for. And I tried everything else, and then I finally came and said, Father, God, if you're real, what he's talking about, that's what I want. Because I tried it all the ways of trying to be successful, just like Gary did.
We're losing it here.
I'm not. We're not losing it.
Yeah, we're drifting.
The point is, the only time that I've experienced it on a sustained basis is since I've been a believer. Where there's a total lack of awareness of self.
Well,
and I'm and from my perspective and my own experience, that place of, is what the Bible calls innocency. What happens, and it happens without anything on you, with you, except total repentance, abandonment of self. And that's the state that I believe that everything in the Bible talks about us reaching.
It's interesting, this conversation has gone from hell to bliss, and part of what I'm hearing from the conversation is the self-awareness, let's say in hell, is refusing to let go of the last vestiges of your self and your identity. This maybe doesn't directly touch awareness, but that would be hell, because that refusal to remain control keeps you in hell, in the burning fire. And that, what the hell's the fire all about except to burn up that which is not of God, which is self?
I once defined hell as the eternity spent in self-seeking with an accusing heart. And that's not the scriptural hell, but for me that would be hell.
Well, of course, that would be hell. There's no question about it.
But my point to you is that only with the abandonment of self do you quiet the accusement that your mind does. It constantly accuses you of some shortfall.
Not constantly.
There's not a day that goes by when it doesn't.
I don't know what that means.
Maybe it meant, but this may not apply to you. I mean,
well, how could it not apply to me? It better apply to me.
Well, I mean, if I use the word constantly and then you get upset about it, I don't mean constantly like never leaving it, but I'm saying constantly as it is at least daily.
Well, no, you say constant, now you're saying at least. Constant doesn't mean at least, Oli, that's my point. Constant means all the time. Not at least.
There doesn't a day go by in my own experience in which your heart and your mind aren't accusing you of some shortfall. Is that better?
Yeah, and I don't disagree with that necessarily. I don't know. I hadn't thought about it, but there's nothing dramatically wrong with that, I don't think.
Well, the idea...
Let's go back. Awareness and seeking. That's my issue here. That's my issue here. Seeking to elevate yourself, to self-aggrandizement, to...
No, that's not what I'm not talking about elevating or aggrandizement. I'm talking about awareness.
Those are not the same.
But I know they're not. I'm saying awareness of self, that's the first step on the need for self-seeking. And I'm self-seeking means avoiding stuff and doing stuff.
That seems like obviously not true to me. That's not even, I can't get near that. That's not I don't believe that. That's not true. I don't see that.
Well, I don't know there's any way to prove it or not prove it, but I'm just saying from my own experience, when I'm aware of myself, the next step that happens is there needs to be a change or something needs to be different. And then the moment I experience that, no matter what it is, that's when I know repentance is instantly necessary.
Is there no awareness involved in your
repentance? That's the reason I repent, is because the awareness of self has come. And I know that if I'm aware of myself, whether it's because of pain or because of anything, I know that that's the awareness of self is the trigger for the need for repentance.
Well, that's a good thing then.
Well, that's a good. It's only good in the context that that's the only thing your mind can do is to repent.
We're going in circles. I appreciate what you're saying, help me get there.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying it's to me, any awareness of self leads to self change. forget self-seeking's need to change something or do something. The lack of awareness of self is peace that passes all understanding. Now, self-seeking, it doesn't mean you have to try to run for to be president. It means you in the awareness of self, you need to change something. You need to do something. And if you're the awareness of self, Lee is to me the leaving of the Sabbath, the rest.
Like you opened the door and looked outside. I was thinking of this continuum of self-awareness, self-seeking, and it seems like a progressive level. I could be totally wrong, but self-awareness, self-seeking, self-obsession. It's almost as if you go down that road, it becomes more and more unspiritual and more of you.
Judgment of self, judgment of others.
There's a million ways to describe it.
So well, but Jeremiah says, why do you gad about to change yourself? Awareness of self, to me, means you're going to change something.
Thank you.
Apparently I've offended you.
No, I gotta go.
Take it, big guy.